Join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
May be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanksgiving evening, I was pleased to be able to go with some members of my sister's family to the University of Texas Longhorns football game against the Texas Christian University Horned Frogs, although of course I was not pleased with the outcome of the game. When I lived in Austin, I used to go to the games regularly, and I had not been to a game since two Thanksgivings ago. This Thanksgiving game included Senior Day, the 98th birthday of the Bevos, and a farewell to UT's president, Bill Powers, things that, along with the usual spirit and traditions, made the game all the more emotional. I was reflecting on the game while studying today's gospel reading for this sermon, as one of the commentators that I consulted likened the shouts of the enthusiastic crowd in the gospel reading to catchphrases of such sporting events. Of course, such sporting events are not limited to UT games, but could include those of Texas A&M, Baylor, where's JD, back there, Mississippi State, and countless others. And yet, instead of shouting in favor of one's team and disfavor of the opposing team, the crowds in today's gospel reading are shouting about him who comes and about the coming kingdom. So I've taken for our theme as on our reflection on this gospel reading this morning, shouting about him who comes and the coming kingdom. Today is, as I've mentioned, the first Sunday in Advent, and so we begin a new church year, and for this year, we switch to a different setting of the divine service and to a different primary gospel account in our three-year cycle of appointed readings. Jumping right into the 11th chapter of St. Mark's divinely inspired account seems odd, unless we realize that we are not using the account chronologically, but as it corresponds to the emphasis of the church year. Today we have St. Mark's account of what is usually regarded as Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, a past coming of Jesus, that is the promise and guarantee of his future comings, especially his final coming. The vivid account, perhaps from Peter as an eyewitness, tells how Jesus sent for and then rode a colt into Jerusalem. The animal was appropriate for its sacred use, and the disciples and the people, as had been done for King Jehu, rolled out the red carpet of their day, spreading on the road their cloaks and leafy branches cut from the fields, honoring Jesus and also submitting themselves to him. And, drawing from the Psalms used in the Passover liturgy, they were repeatedly, and likely antiphonally or responsively, shouting about him who comes, connected with the Lord's revelation, and about the coming kingdom, connected with the highest heaven. The coming one and the coming kingdom go together. The descendant of David rules or reigns in fulfillment of all of the promises pertaining to him. I said that drawing from the Psalms used in the Passover liturgy, those who went before Jesus and those who followed after him were shouting, Hosanna. Bible commentators debate just what the word Hosanna meant in general at the time, and what the people meant in particular by using it. Hosanna can be a request for salvation, and the people in the gospel reading may well have known that they were sinners in need of salvation, as We are sinners in need of salvation. Like the people of today's Old Testament reading, we have sinned and have been in our sins a long time. In fact, from the very moment of conception. Longer for some of us than for others, admittedly. We have all become like those who are unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. We rightly ask about our salvation. We rightly plead the Lord not to be terribly angry, not to remember our iniquity forever, but to look on us with his favor as his people. In Jesus Christ, God has acted for those who trust in him. When we repent and believe in Jesus, then God meets us who joyfully work righteousness and remember him in his ways. As Bible commentators debate the meaning of the word Hosanna, so they also debate the related matter of how much the enthusiastic crowd knew and was confessing about Jesus, even debating what and who Jesus might have wanted to know. Whether or not the crowd realized it, in Jesus, every messianic expectation would be realized. To be sure, Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, a place the Messiah was expected to appear. And he was going to Jerusalem to act for those who wait for or trust in him. Just a few verses earlier, Jesus had told his 12 disciples that in Jerusalem, he would be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, that they would condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, that they would mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and that after 3 days he would rise. At such a place and in such ways, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve by giving his life as a ransom for all. Out of his great love for you and for me, Jesus died for us. For your sins and for mine. When we repent and believe in him, then God forgives all our sin, whatever our sin might be, even our natures sinful from our conceptions. Although St. Mark's account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem does not make an explicit reference to God's prophecy through Zechariah, St. Mark's account does seem to allude to and be linked to that prophecy. We heard part of it today in the intro and in gradual. Truly, Jesus is our King coming to us, righteous and having salvation. Yet instead of coming humbly mounted on a colt, the foal of a donkey, today he comes humbly in the words of his preached gospel. Today, he comes with water and the word in holy baptism. Today, he comes humbly in the words of a pastor's individual absolution following private confession. And he comes humbly with bread and wine that is his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. In these ways, set in the historic Christian liturgy of the church with its catchphrases, we, by grace through faith in him who comes, receive both him who comes and his coming kingdom, namely salvation, eternal life. He who comes and the coming kingdom are already blessed by God to whom they belong, and we add our blessing or praise as we acknowledge our reception of them and subject ourselves to them. We too rejoice greatly and shout aloud. We shout about him who comes and about the coming kingdom. In our time of catechesis this morning, we talked about the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer with its statement that the kingdom is God's. And we remember that the second petition of the Lord's Prayer asks for his kingdom to come. Today's collect likewise prayed the Lord to come, so that by his protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by his mighty deliverance. Truly, as we confess with the small catechism, the Lord and his kingdom of grace, the Church, come to us when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time. But there is also his and his kingdom of glories, the Church and the angels in heavens, coming for eternity. We also pray for him and his kingdom to come in that way, and to come that way soon. Those of us who this past week enthusiastically used the designated catchphrases to cheer our favorite teams, only to have them lose the games, understandably were disappointed. However, no such loss and resulting disappointment is in store for those who faithfully shout about him who comes and the coming kingdom, and so wait for them. As we live each day in the forgiveness of sins with repentance and faith, the victory over sin and its resulting death is already ours. As St. Paul wrote by divine inspiration in today's epistle reading, God, by whom we are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. That same coming Lord Jesus Christ will sustain us to the end, guiltless in his day. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.